And welcome back to another hour of Coast to Coast AM, where we will also take your stories, questions, and calls as we talk about these creatures, phantom creatures. Lon Strickler, our guest, and we'll be back with him and you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Lon Strickler with us. Lon, let's talk a little bit more about that dog-like creature that stands up on its hind legs. Could that be a natural occurrence, or just a natural creature that does that?
I think it's possible. I guess it is possible. There have been, these beings have been seen for 150 years. In Pennsylvania and actually down in Maryland, there were some very well-known, what they called the Dwayo in Frederick County, 7 or 8 sightings back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. But there have been historical sightings of these dogman creatures, actual packs of them, up in the Alleghenies and up into northern central Pennsylvania.
In Mexico, they have little creatures in the rainforest called duendes. Have you ever had any reports of those little things, Lon?
No, I haven't.
None of those. What other creatures might people be seeing beyond? How about Bigfoot? I'm sure you get a lot of those.
You know, the Bigfoot sightings have really waned off for us. You know, we used to get a lot of Bigfoot sightings in Pennsylvania, particularly. I'm from there. The people I work with are from the Pennsylvania area. But over the past year or so, it's kind of dropped off. I don't know if that's what's been going on all over the country or not, but in Pennsylvania, it seems to have been quiet.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I really don't know. You know. Another interesting, we were talking about my colleague, Butch Witkowski, and I were talking and have mentioned it many times, with Chicago sightings. Chicago and Lake Michigan are well known for UFOs. I mean, there have been historical sightings and many sightings there. And, you know, you'd go on MUFON CMS, and you'd almost see a report every other day or so. But for some reason, the reports in the Chicago area and Chicago, on the lake, in what they call the Michigan Triangle area, those sightings have waned off as well. I can't really think of any, decent sighting other than possibly a few orbs here and there. But no, we haven't seen anything.
In addition to your calls, we take your texts and tweets. And Tom, you have a question for Lon. Go ahead.
This is going to be a text from Paul in New Haven, Connecticut. I was wondering if your guest can talk about his death investigation of Todd J. Sees and if it was tied to a UFO abduction.
What was that case, Lon?
This is he's talking about the Todd Sees death investigation. Gentleman by the name of Todd Sees lived in Northumberland, Pennsylvania area, around Northumberland, Pennsylvania. And in August of 2002, he got on his ATV and drove up he lived at the base of the Montour Ridge, and he drove up the Montour Ridge to go, what he mentioned to his family, to spot deer. And I think he normally had done that. So, he told his family he'd be back by noon, but he didn't show up. So the family got concerned, and they notified the authorities. A massive search ensued. I mean, they had search and rescue personnel, search dogs, helicopter, everything, local state police. It was a very organized search, and by all accounts, it was over 200 volunteers. The area from top of the ridge, the adjacent woods, family property, was all looked into, even the small pond, which is about 70 foot from the house, Sees house. They also had divers going in there, and they had dogs going all over the area. No success. Then approximately 36 hours after he was reported missing, this was the second morning of the search, a family member noticed something could be seen in the bushes around that pond. And Todd G's body was discovered. It was an area that was heavily searched the previous day. Interesting thing about it was that we've had two witnesses who made a report into Norfolk, New Fork, that on one side of the ridge in the western Susquehanna River, two fishermen had seen a large disc-like craft with a beam coming out of it and lifting up what looked like a man in his underwear. On the other side of the ridge was a farmer who basically mentioned that he saw this this craft, same dimensions, hovering over the power line, and though he didn't mention anything about anybody being pulled up into a beam. But the fact that his body was found, you know, it just seemed like the body was placed there. After the autopsy, there was no blood was found in the body, very little blood anyway. And in fact, it was said that the blood sample had to be taken out of the leg. Now, the official report was that he died of a fatal cocaine toxicity, but we were able to obtain the full autopsy report, and there was just way too much cocaine in his body. I mean, there was first of all, if he died on the ridge, there was no way he was coming down that ridge with all those people looking around.
Right, right.
And in fact, that area is loaded with rattlesnakes. So, you know, well,
they would have attacked him. Huh?
It was rocky too, and I don't think he'd have made it if he was that inebriated or intoxicated with cocaine. So it's a very strange case, and there have been a lot of circumstances. The family has really been quiet about this. It was interesting when the body was found, all the search and rescue people were taken to a nearby fire hall in Tuckahoe, and the doors were closed, and somebody in a suit told them, you know, you don't know anything, you don't talk to anybody, nothing happened here. So
why'd they hush it up so much?
I don't know. I mean, I believe that the people that were involved were not FBI or any law enforcement. I think it was United States Air Force.
The Air Force?
And I think these were investigators.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, Lon, I would ask you about, these creatures, if they're winged. Could they be adrift from some distant location? I'm not saying there's an island of Dr. Moreau out there, but, any type of winged creature could be from any distance, any location, and possibly there's a lot of them at some remote location on the Earth. My second question would be just about Chicago itself. It does seem like a very strange place with strange phenomena. I had gotten stuck there but my train was canceled coming back to New York, so I had to wait for the next Amtrak, which was 24 hours later. And by the next morning, I was in some sort of like a Wendy's-type place, but it was a local place. And a blonde was standing like, say, 5 feet away from me. And I blinked, and it was gone. I assume it was like an angel, but it was like the woman was 5 feet away. I blinked, and there was no one there.
Jeez.
So that was strange, and that was right near Lake Michigan.
Why the Midwest, Lon?
it seems like the upper Midwest, including Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, a lot of weird things, a lot of paranormal activities, flying beings, dog man. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's been reported over the years. Chicago's had a lot of paranormal activity for many, many years. And, I'll be quite honest with you, I've been doing this for almost 40 years now, and nothing surprises me.
What has been the strangest story, Lon, you've ever, ever investigated? In your 40 years,
likely my encounter with with a being that I called the Conewaga Phantom, and is very similar to what's going on in Chicago.
Same kind of creature?
Yep, very similar.
Something about those wings.
Yeah, and this thing had red eyes as well. That was back in 1988, and it occurred not too far from where I live.
You know what? The more I'm hearing the folks call in and talk about this creature, and the more I chat with you, I'm beginning to really wonder if these are angels, fallen angels, the bad ones.
It's possible. I mean, I'm open to anything at this point, quite honest with you. I believe in angels, and, you know, I've always believed in angels. And could this be some type of winged being they used to refer to back in the near Middle East, back in Sumerians and Assyrians? I guess it's possible.
Let's go to Martha in Santa Cruz, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Martha. Go ahead.
It's been a while. I want you to know that I'm doing very well.
Good.
Our last talk was very cathartic, George. I don't know if you know how powerful you are. But I wanted to tell you something that happened in Santa Cruz, where I was born and raised.
Sure.
I'm a kind of a night security person. It's my retirement job. And this was 2.5 years ago. And I was there across the highway, right outside of Santa Cruz Wilder Ranch. It's about probably 2 miles north of Santa Cruz. And the highway goes between two cliffs. It's kind of, you know, eaten into the mountain there. And I was on one side peering over. I called my friend John because I said, John, that whole night I felt like I was being watched. And sure enough, over by the porta potty, which was about 10, 12 feet away, there was this black figure in back of it just peering at me. And I said, John, I think I'm really imagining this. It could be a shadow, but it wasn't. And the porta potty started moving back and forth. Well, I'm a prayer person, so I really started praying. And this is about 3 in the morning. Everything's pitch black there. Next thing that happened was I looked across the highway, and now this is a good, you know, distance away. It's about maybe 150 feet away on the other cliff. And staring at me is this huge, it looked like a crow, very black. The wingspan, according to the mountain, was huge. It could have been altogether 14, 15 feet span between two wings. And red eyes, no beak. And I called John again. I said, John, I'm being creeped out. This thing is real. And if it is real, it started to kind of wobble towards the edge of the cliff. I went, oh no, it's going to fly. And it flew across the highway. And I said, now, John, if this is real, there's going to be a shadow over my car, because there were lights on the highway. Sure enough, a shadow goes by my car. I said, this thing's real. This isn't, you know, this is tangible. And he lands over by me about 15 feet away in the field, turns and pivots and starts flopping toward me. Well, I'm a kind of weird person. I have a lot of chutzpah. And I got angry, you know, made me angry that it was, you know, trying to scare me and creep me out. So I got out of the car and I pointed at it. And I said, you have no right to do this to me. And I said, the blood of Jesus. And I don't know whether it flew really fast away. The next thing I knew, it wasn't there.
That seems to work sometimes when people bring up that name, Lon. Have you had that come across your desk?
What name was that again?
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I think a lot of people invoke their inner faith when they run into a situation like that. You know, the large black crow with the red eyes, that I have had a couple of those type of reports before. And they do, I mean, they look just like a black crow, but they've got these very intense red eyes, and they seem to be a type of shapeshifter of some type. But I had one gentleman who was actually, he was Polish, but he had moved to the United States, and he swears he had one of these things follow him around for months.
That's a long time.
Yeah, and it actually showed up at his door one day. And he had basically a shouting match with it, and it went away. But you know, I talked to the guy, and he swore this thing was real.
It doesn't seem to like confrontation.
No, they don't. You know, and these flying beings, for the most part, are the same way.
They just want to be left alone.
They just want to be left alone.
Let's go to Serena in Riverdale, New York now. Hi, Serena. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Thanks morning.
For taking my call.
You're very welcome.
You guys were speculating as to whether there might have been negative energy around the Point Pleasant Bridge. I can confirm that there definitely was some kind of freaky negative, big negative energy around there.
Why do you say that?
Well, when I was a kid, around 4 or 5 years old, now, I've always been a very calm, stoic, rational person my whole life. I lived in the region, we would go visit my grandparents, and there were two different ways we could go. One would take us over the bridge, and one would not. My dad was always in construction, so he really liked, big bridges and stuff, and I actually liked them too, but something about this bridge, I would freak out. I mean, I would plead my dad, beg him, do not go over that bridge. There is something wrong with it.
Jeez.
And, you know, this is a 4 or 5 year old child. It was to the point where if he took me over that bridge, I would ball up on the floor of the back seat and hold my breath the entire time.
Wow.
I mean, it was just something
petrified.
Really weird about that bridge. And when that thing came down, I had a big I told you so with my father.
I bet you did. What did he say?
Well, I think he thought I was kind of a little weird, but
not that day.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was not happy to be correct about that, but there definitely was some weird energy about that place.
Well, so here's this possibility here, Lon. What if in the greater Chicago area something really tragic happens? Could you pinpoint that to these creature visitations?
Well, I guess it just depends where it happened. I mean, you know, if we can somehow connect the sightings to anything that happens or a location where something major happens, yeah, then maybe we can do that. You know, it's interesting that the caller mentioned her being young and having a premonition of the bridge being, you know, falling. I've talked to several people who have told me very similar stories about the Silver Bridge and having premonitions when they were kids going over that bridge, not too much before the actual collapse.
Yeah, that was a weird, and I don't believe in coincidences, but it was a weird happening, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, for it to go down as quick as it did and nobody noticed anything, and apparently, it had an inspection like a year before that.
And passed, right?
Yeah.
All right, Lon, we're going to take a break, but we're coming back for final phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Lon Strickler with us, and your final calls, of course, as we talk about these incredible creatures. It is amazing how these creatures seem to be roaming, Lon, all over the place.
Yeah, they're that's what makes me think that they're just not flying around, you know, going from location to location. Because I think we'd see we'd be getting a lot more sightings. I believe that certain people are seeing this. And in other words, I just don't think it's allowing itself to be seen to just anybody.
Why would that be?
I don't know. But it just seems to me the way people have described their encounters, and I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe it's intuition. I don't know. But that's just how I feel about it. I just don't think anybody can just see this.
These entities, though, have never demonstrated any signs of aggression or hurting somebody, correct?
Not the sightings we've had in this year. No, none of them.
Why do you think that is?
maybe they are trying to give a message of some type, or trying to be seen without any type of problems or reservations. I just don't know, and it's just it's bizarre. I agree, but there is just really no explanation at this point.
Lon, as you continue doing your research on the unusual and the paranormal, do these stories come your way, or do you have to go hunting for them? How do you find them?
Well, at this point, because of the blog and the newsletter, and I get my name out there. I'd say 95% of the stories that I receive are from witnesses, firsthand witnesses who contact me, or contact me through someone else.
And when they approach you, what do they ask? What do they say?
I guess the most common phrase they use is, "You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you."
And they, you're used to that, though, aren't you?
Yeah, because I'll tell them, "Well, try me, because I've heard and seen a lot of things."
So let's talk about your future investigations. What do you do next?
Don't know. I mean, I kind of take it as it comes. This Chicago sightings kind of fell in my lap, and I just took the ball and ran with it. And fortunately, the sightings are coming to me and Manuel over at UFO Clearinghouse for the most part. And, we're able to get firsthand information from the witnesses. And, I think we've been very lucky to do that. Maybe we're supposed to be investigating it. Who knows?
Do you have a team of investigators?
Yeah, we've got I've got several people that are working with this, who are helping me research, throwing ideas our way. Several people that live in Chicago that know the city and can advise me of the area and what has gone on in that area historically, as far as any weird or strange activity. And, we've been working together pretty well, and it's been a big help.
So when you do these investigations, how long do they normally take when you try to investigate something like that?
Oh, it doesn't take long in these cases. I mean, it's a matter of, getting the report, then following up and getting as much information as we can. It may take one day or just a few days, but, we've been pretty lucky as far as being able to get witnesses to come forward after they've contacted us.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Ryan in Montana. Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys have ever tried contacting a geospatial or a GIS technician. Basically, I used to be one, and basically what I'd do is I'd gather a database of the locations of the sightings, and then you can have the computer apply a statistical analysis and try to guess where the next sighting is going to be.
What do you think, Lon? Have you?
I've never considered that. I guess that is something we could look into.
Okay, great. And we have a final text or tweet. What do we have, Tom, back there in L.A.?
This one would be from Nikki in Alabama. Can Lon please talk about the Loch Ness Monster and the journalist that first called it a monster?
Loch Ness Monster. Honestly, lake monsters are not really my forte. The Loch Ness Monster in particular, I don't really personally believe that there is anything called the Loch Ness Monster. I just think the variables involved with the location, the food supply, and a lot of other things, and of course some of the sightings have been notably faked. I just don't believe there is a Loch Ness Monster.
What are people seeing, though, Juan? They're seeing something, aren't they?
They may think they're seeing something. There may be a lot of natural phenomena that people think they're seeing, some type of beast. It may be wake formation, maybe driftwood. It could be a lot of things. I'm not saying that lake monsters are not real. And in fact, I think Lake Champlain in particular has some very good possibilities as far as research and investigation. One investigator in particular that I know, Katie Elizabeth, she's done some remarkable work there. And I think she has come up with some very, very interesting theories on what's going on.
Let's go to Chris, truck driving in California. Chris, go ahead.
Good evening and good morning to
Hi.
Those who are listening.
The many are.
I wanted to say, I think this creature that you're talking about almost sounds a lot like a pterodactyl. Or what? Our last ice age was way back during the dinosaur days, and yet the ice is now melting.
Well, except a pterodactyl, though, Chris, has a huge beak. This has got like a human face to it.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe there's something going on in the Arctic, and it came
maybe.
From the Arctic. I don't know. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that one.
What about the possibility, Lon, that it's not extraterrestrial, but it's terrestrial? It's just a different kind of a creature, humanoid, that is indigenous to the planet Earth.
Pterosaur sightings have been, there have been pterosaur sightings over the years. In fact, Jonathan Wickholm has been investigating these pterosaur sightings for years now, in particular in New Guinea and Papua New Guinea. There have been sightings in the United States, in particular the Van Meter visitor story back in the early 1900s that actually looked like a pterosaur, a pterodactyl. There have been pictures of these beasts. Are they real? Well, they very well could be. I do believe that there are a lot of cryptid beings, in particular winged beings, that are actually somewhere out there on our Earth. And, every once in a while, somebody gets a look at one of them.
Yeah. Bob's in Walla Walla, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Good evening or good morning, Lon and people. I got a bad raspy throat right now, so I'm going to do my best to keep it short.
God, I thought you had a bad phone line.
it's a BOS burner. My question to your guest is about examples of shadow people, shadow entities.
Uh-huh.
Seeing them in the peripheral vision. The old lady and I got a house that's 110 years old here, and we both are seeing these entities moving in and out of the rooms and stuff, and they're like a shadow. Could you tell me what it is that they
are? All right. Lon, do you have any experience with the shadow people that we've always talked about?
Yeah, I've investigated a few cases with clients in private investigations. My theory is, for the most part, that these shadow beings are, some are called hat men.
Right.
They're a malevolent type of being that has a tendency to take life force from the weak, the sick, the elderly, and also go into situations where there's some dysfunction in a family or a group of people. They just seem to
migrate to
these type of situations.
They feed on negative energy somehow.
Absolutely.
That's weird. Terry in O'Fallon, Missouri, east of the Rockies. Hi, Terry. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, we sure can.
I love this show, George, first of all.
Thank you, Terry.
Second of all, many a time I've listened to people call in, and I thought, oh, boy, I don't know about that. Well, it's my turn to be whacked. I've been trying to call you for over a year. I didn't even tell anybody about this till a year, but I come through the backwoods to O'Fallon from Washington, and there's some weird stuff going on over in that county over there. But one night I was going by the airport, and what made me call you was this. I come in the headlights, had them on low beam because it was foggy.
Mm-hmm.
and I was driving fairly slow, like 35, 40 mile an hour. And all of a sudden in the headlights, on the side of the road was this little creature. And, here we go. He flared his wings up. He had wings like a large bird of prey.
All right.
Flared them up like they do. Turned his head. He had a beak of sorts. It wasn't a big beak, but it was bigger than an owl. And he opened his mouth. Now, I couldn't hear if he was screeching or what. But I drove past him, and I thought, what the hell was that? Excuse me, language. I drove past him, and I got to thinking, you know, I saw he had extremities. And it was extremities such as an infant, like bowed legs and arms.
Jeez.
And I turned, I got to thinking, you know, there was no head. I thought, well, he's eating something on the side of the road. But he had his mouth open screeching or something. There was no way he could have held it. He flared his wings, and the thing was standing in front of him, whatever it was, and it had no head. So I kept thinking about it. I turned around, and I went back there, and, of course, it was gone. But there was nothing there. There was no...
It had to have had the head moved somehow. What do you think this was, Lon? A little miniature version of what people have been seeing in Chicago?
I think that's a possibility. Maybe they have little Chicago phantoms, a little phantom.
Well, they have to have little ones, yeah. I mean, they got to grow up eventually.
Who knows?
That's strange. Terry, thanks for that story. See, and you have become one of the strange ones now that you called with that. Joe in Utah, welcome to the show. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
All is well. Thanks.
All right. So when I was, Lon, are you familiar with the Susquehanna River?
The what river?
The Susquehanna in Pennsylvania. Susquehanna.
Absolutely. I live nearby.
Okay. Okay. I used to live in Tunkhannock. Do you know where that's at?
Yes.
Okay. So between there and Mahoopany, there's a creek that's called Taquise. I'm trying to pronounce it right, Taquise Creek. But anyway, I was 14 years old, and I used to go up and down that river ever so often on a motorcycle. And one hot summer day, I'm going up the river, and all of a sudden... I'm looking out, and all of a sudden, I around one of the bends of the river, and it definitely wasn't bear. It wasn't a bear, because we've seen there's a lot of black bear in Pennsylvania. I've seen a lot of them, but this big hairy, I had to be a Bigfoot. It was standing up already when I saw it, and I stopped the bike. I was terrified. The hair stood up on my arms, and I was freaked out. And this thing just looked at me and then just walked down, because it was on the railroad tracks. The railroad tracks go right alongside the river there. Right, it was about 5 miles probably before the Vosburgh Bridge, the tunnel.
Right.
And this thing just walked down the bank. And it disappeared. This thing disappeared, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to think.
You mean it was there 1 minute and gone the next?
It was there 1 minute, and I started up, you know, I just kept, I went up on a, you know, slow rate of speed just to make sure, because, I was shaking. And I looked over, I mean, there, and I tried to look for him, and he was, nowhere to be found.
Jeez, that's an amazing story, too. Joe, we're out of time. And Lon, thank you so much. Look, if you ever get a definitive picture of one of these creatures, get it to us, and we'll post it on the coasttocoastam.com website. Strange things happening out there, to be sure. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.